And the Hurricanes take a 2-0 lead over the Nashville Predators with tonight's 3-0 victory over Nashville.
There you go. 2-0. Carolina with the advantage. Not good. Predators going to have to win on home ice. No excuses, or else season's probably over. Game 3 will be tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Game 4 will be Sunday afternoon. Caroline Fenton is here. We are live at Social Furniture in West Nashville, where we have tickets for those games. Stop on by 5412 Charlotte Avenue, again, out here in West Nashville. Come on by. You can enter to win not only tickets for Game 3, we got tickets for Game 4, and we've got a recliner that they're going to be giving away on Memorial Day weekend. So how about that? Caroline Fenton, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good. Ian, how are you?
Just fine, thank you.
Okay, let's get started. Last night's game. So I want to start with this, and that is when I was in high school, I went to university school. And university school, great education, Caroline. I would hold it up against any high school, college prep school in the city, any college prep high school, maybe in America. I think it's a really, really good school. And we're very proud of our sports teams, and we root them on very hard. And I was on those sports teams. But the truth is I'll be real. We didn't, I don't want to say care about our sports teams as much as the other schools, but well, I was on our sports teams. And when we would go to Brentwood Academy, for example, who did very much care about their sports teams, it didn't always seem to feel like a fair fight. In basketball, for example, we'd play them, and we had a handful of guys. One guy ended up being a college baseball player. And they had a guy who played in the NBA, in Brandon Wright. They had his brother, Brian Wright, who played at Lipscomb, Brandon Brown, who also played at Lipscomb, Kevin Stallings' son, Jacob, who's now the catcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they had Josh Bone, who's Jordan Bone's older brother, who played at Tennessee as well. So we didn't do very well in those games. Every guy on their team was like 6'5", and again, played college sports, or in the case of a couple of them, played major league pro sports. We knew going into those games, we didn't have much of a chance, but we went in there and they tipped the ball off and we played basketball and we lost. Same thing happened when we played them in baseball. They had guys that were going on to SEC schools. We didn't. When I watched last night the Carolina Hurricanes play the Predators, the truth is everything that I was afraid of or everything that I had anticipated when it came to the discussion of the trade deadline or what this team was capable of or everything else kind of showed itself last night. I still think the Predators are going to have one card left to play, what they do at home, but it doesn't feel to me like a fair fight. The Carolina Hurricanes are bigger than the Predators. They are faster than the Predators. They have better skill than the Predators. They have better high-end forwards than the Predators. They have better defensemen than the Predators. They might have a better coach than the Predators. They're deeper than the Predators. They hit more than the Predators. They get better high-risk shot chances than the Predators. It doesn't even really feel like a fair fight. And I'm sitting here listening, and I told myself I wasn't going to do this today, and then I went and did it. I said I wasn't going to listen to any talk shows, any post-game shows, anything, because I wanted just to say, hey, this is how I felt. But then I ended up listening to all the talk shows and watching all the post-game shows and everything else anyways. And I have heard, honestly, some stuff I consider to be pretty stupid. You know, some real stupid stuff. This idea, hey, the Predators played well last night. You know what? They played a good game. Did they? You watched it. Did you ever feel like the Predators were going to win last night? And let me say this. I'm not here to bag on the Predators. I'm not. They played tough. They played hard. I'll give them that. But they're not in the same zip code as the Carolina Hurricanes. And that's why when it was trade deadline season and everybody said, what about 2017? That cup run, anything's possible. Get into the playoffs. Hot goaltender. You could not ask for more than the Predators have gotten from UC Saros in the first two games. They've got a hot goaltender. It doesn't matter when the other team is that good. And honestly, fans are going to have the feeling of our team can compete with anybody. I remember a couple years ago, Mike Mularkey was coach of the Titans. They got into the playoffs, and they won a game at Kansas City, and they went on the road to New England with Brady and Belichick. And I remember picking the Titans to lose that game like 35-13 or something like that. And I remember the fans being like, what? What? 35-13? What are you talking about? I'm like, this is a Titans team that can barely get a first down. That's a Patriot team that's the defending Super Bowl champions with the greatest quarterback of all time, the greatest player of all time, the greatest coach of all time, probably the greatest tight end of all time. They're going to house you. And they did. In fact, coach got fired the next day. That's what this looks like to me. And that's what we all tried to say at the time. When the team got hot, and again, they weren't competing against Carolina. They weren't competing against Tampa Bay. They were competing against Dallas and Chicago. When they got hot and weren't even in a playoff spot and the fans wanted to go for it, they didn't want to sell at the trade deadline, I kept saying, what if you get matched up with Carolina? What if you get matched up with Tampa Bay? Well, you know, Jared, anything can happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Anything can happen. That doesn't mean anything will happen. Adam Vingan tried to tell you all that at the time. Mark Howard on this show tried to tell all of you that all at that time. You guys have known Mark Howard for 30 years. You think Mark Howard wasn't rooting for the Predators? You don't think Mark Howard wants the Predators to win? I get the idea of the fans that think I'm against the Predators. I'm not. I'm a season ticket holder. I hope they win tomorrow night. But you know Mark Howard's not rooting against them. And he said they should have sold at the deadline. Everybody except for David Poyle thought that this team should trade at the deadline. And it's almost like it gave us this false hope that they could go in there against Carolina and they could compete with them. They beat Carolina in two games that ultimately didn't mean much to the Hurricanes. And it probably gave us some false sense of security that these two teams were on a lot more level footing than we probably believed. And I'm not saying the Predators can't win a game at Bridgestone Arena. I'm not saying they can't win both games at Bridgestone Arena, though I would be surprised. But I'm sorry. I hear people tell me after the game, including the coach, that he thought that they played well last night, that he thought the team played well. And I thought, what? What? The Predators, I went back and watched, and we'll get to the power play. I went back and watched every Predators power play this morning. I don't think the Predators, I'm just looking through my notes, I think they got one legitimate scoring chance. Like one legitimate chance, and it was when Matt Duchene just threw it to the front of the net, and there were four black jerseys right there that collapsed on it before Eric Halla could get there. I mean, that's it. They had more scoring chances on your power plays than you had on your power plays last night. They're freaking good. And I sometimes think that when you say things like this, people interpret it as like an anti-Predators thing, like a you're against the Predators. I'm not against Predators. I think the Predators had a great season. I think the Predators had a good season. I think the Predators have a decent coach. I think they've got some core pieces that should stay. I think they've got some core pieces that need to go. But that's a great team. That is a great team. They are big, they are strong, they are fast, they are deep. They apparently have a decent goaltender, although I'm not sure how hard he was challenged last night. But please do not sit there and tell me you thought the Predators played well last night. The goalie was fantastic. And as Joe Rexroad tried to explain or ask the coach after the game, you know, it did feel like had they won that game, we would have said Saros stole it because he was fantastic. But this team, they're not competing with the Carolina Hurricanes right now. They're not. That first period, I thought that first period, when I saw Eric Halla pick up that penalty, that just ridiculous, immature, selfish roughing penalty to start the game. When I saw that, I said, okay, I know where their heads are tonight. I mean, they honestly, after the second power play failed with 6:56 to go in the first period of the Dougie Hamilton interference, after that, kind of felt like the Predators played scared. Kind of felt like they played scared, especially in the offensive zone. Because everything they did, they got suffocated. They got dominated. They couldn't get any decent look. And it, again, reminded me of when I was in high school at USN, and we'd go play Brentwood Academy with their 6'10" post players and their 6'4" guards, and we'd try to dribble out of a press, and all of a sudden we'd lose the ball. They'd go the other way for a dunk. That's what it felt like. These two teams are not on the same level. And I think that now that we've seen two games, it feels to me like it's pretty obvious. And I guess I'm disappointed because even though I was telling you guys, don't get your hopes up. I said at the trade deadline, trade Granlund, trade Holla, trade Cousins, who, by the way, is not even dressing in this series. Trade those guys, get picks, see what those picks become. I'm not here to take a victory lap today. I'm not. But I think the truth is we knew in our hearts when we talked about Carolina and Tampa, we knew that this is what they were. And if you're going to tell me in pro sports, I love this idea of, hey, they played well yesterday. I mean, they played a good game. If you're going to tell me that in pro sports, then I'll go down the street to the trophy shop and get a nice little fourth place trophy made up, and I'll bring that into Bridgestone Arena. Fourth place Central Division trophy. This is pro sports. I don't care if you played well in a playoff game, if you did not win it. This is pro sports. Did the Titans play well against the Ravens in the wild card game? I don't know. And guess what? I don't care. They don't make trophies for playing hard. Caroline, your reaction to last night's game?
I think I got really frustrated in post-game interviews whenever I kept hearing, well, we played better 5-on-5 tonight than we did on Monday. Mm-hmm. That's correct. I think that they did. I think that the Predators played a better game last night than they did on Monday. But that's not enough. We talked on Tuesday about how John Hines continued to say, well, it was 2-2 going into the third period on Monday night. Okay, and what was the score at the end of the game? So I understand these little victories, which very much so do come into play when you're in February, in January, whenever you pick up these little victories along the way. This is the playoffs. You cannot afford those little victories along the way in game one and game two. Hey, our 5-on-5 was better. That's good, but you are still down two games in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And think about this. Nobody was selling the idea when they decided not to sell at the trade deadline. Nobody holds a press conference and says, hey, maybe we can play a couple of good games in the playoffs and see where that goes.
Hey, maybe our 5-on-5 could be better.
The 5-on-5 might be okay. I've heard a lot of stupid stuff today. I'll be honest with you. A lot of things I don't agree with. I mean, just this is pro sports, okay? Like, this isn't T-ball. This is pro sports. You want to sit there and tell me that you thought that, hey, you know what, our 5-on-5, I don't care. Why would I care about that? Why would I care about your 5-on-5 game? I don't care about your 5-on-5 game. You spent a period on the power play. I don't care about your 5-on-5 game. So that's getting me going to start. Let's get your reaction. Phones and calls, 615-737-1025. I meant to say calls and texts. Calls and text. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get to your reaction plus the power play. The power play. We'll get to that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And why I feel like, honestly, I don't have... We'll get to the power play. Let me just say that. We'll get to the power play.
Yeah, we will.
We'll get to the power play. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, we are live out here at Social Furniture. Come on out, and you can register to win a pair of tickets for Game 3 or Game 4. And if you listen to the players talk, I asked Ryan Johansson yesterday, like, what is their belief level or what do they have to believe in after last night? And he said Bridgestone Arena. He wants to get back to Bridgestone Arena for those fans. So come on by and register to win tickets so you can be with those fans. Again, games 3 and 4, we'll be giving them away at the end of the show today, and you can register to win these great recliners that they have out here. They're giving away Memorial Day weekend. Again, that's 5412 Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Memorial Day sale. Deliver the next day and set up what's available in stock the next day. Man, I've got some furniture in the past I had to wait like 6 months for. Memorial Day sale, up to 70% off of retail, interest-free finance, no credit check, no money down. And again, you can enter to win those tickets. Stillman & Company, live from Social Furniture. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ian's back in our wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Why does this team, with the collection of talent that it has on the power play, struggle so mightily to score with that advantage?
I don't know. It hasn't been good the last couple of years. And obviously, I think everyone needs to be better. Like, I'm on the power play, so I gotta do a better job. And every guy kind of just got to look in the mirror and be better. And it's such a huge part of the game, and especially in playoffs. He said tonight, I think if we, I don't know how many problems we had, but if we score one or two, it's a different game. So it's a huge part, and we gotta figure it out really quick. And it doesn't matter how good their kill is, we gotta score on the power play or at least create momentum.
For the 17th season, it feels like in a row, the Nashville Predators power play is absolute. Well, I should say, what do they say on the morning show? Dog water?
Dog water.
It's absolute dog water in the playoffs. I don't even know what that means.
It's like a video game thing.
Oh, God. Like, okay. Like, well, I have enough. That's all I need to hear.
Yeah.
Absolute dog water in the playoffs.
It gives you a nice little visual representation of what it really is.
So, again, I'm not going to sit here and complain about the – or complain. I'm not going to sit here and talk about the five-on-five stuff. You know, the – hey, we were 5-on-5. We were up. Okay, go ahead and take your everyone participated T-ball trophy and go into the corner and hang out. This is the big boy show. We have big boy expectations over here and big girl expectations.
Thank you.
We have big expectations over here. This power play has been wretched for years and years and years. It's been bad. In 2019, they were 0-15 on the power play in the first round against the Dallas Stars, and it cost them that entire series. And for that year, they were so bad on the power play that they traded for Brian Boyle, they traded for Wayne Simmonds, they traded for Mikhail Granlund, all because they felt like that's what they needed to help the power play. You'd be surprised to know that didn't help the power play.
Ah, did it not?
No, it didn't. Ah. So then they brought in Dan Lambert to coach the power play. You'd be surprised to know that didn't help the power play.
Mm.
They signed Matt Duchene to come in and help the power play. They fired Peter Laviolette to fix the power play. And here we are in 2021 on the edge of getting past a global pandemic, and the Nashville Predators still can't score on the power play. And I went back and watched. Caroline, did I call you today and say, hey, I'm about to go rewatch every power play.
And you said that you would be a little bit late because there were so many power plays to watch from last night.
There were so many. There was Trocheck's 2 minutes for roughing, Hamilton's 2 minutes for interference, Aho's 2 minutes for roughing, Jordan Staal's 2 minutes for interference, Pesci's holding, Niederreiter's hooking, and Warren Fogle threw the puck over the stands or into the stands for a delay of game. And it didn't matter. And by the way, here's another thing about the power play. Carolina knows they have a good penalty kill, and they know you have a terrible power play. So now they're not going to be worried the rest of the series about taking a penalty. If it's like, should I hook the guy or not hook the guy?
Go for it.
Hook him. I mean, that's what I'd be saying. That's like if you were to be playing in the NFL and you were to say, hey, we can interfere on every pass. I'd do it. That's what I'd do. So I went through all of them. And I looked and I was like, how many legitimate scoring chances did the Predators have? For example, on their third power play, the Aho roughing, they did not establish offensive zone possession until there were 27 seconds left in the power play. On the Jordan Staal interference, Josi just gives away the puck to start the entire power play. Down the ice it goes. The second power play I thought was their best opportunity, and then you could tell after the second one they lost all confidence. And there's one guy who does what is necessary on a power play in his position, who does what is necessary in order to have success, and it's Tolvanen. Now, let me say this. Tolvanen right now clearly is not in the right space because 5-on-5, and I know that apparently we care more about what happens 5-on-5 than we do about what happens for the whole game. Tolvanen's a non-factor 5-on-5. He can't play in this series 5-on-5, which is tough. But on the power play, the second power play they had, Eric Holla wins the draw, but the Predators can't get it, so they lost the first 20 seconds. Josi and Forsberg try to stick handle in between two guys. Both times they lose it. Trocheck then gets his 2-on-1, which Saros made an excellent save on.
He did.
Tolvanen,
Saros had an excellent game last night.
Here's what Tolvanen can do. That little half-wall positioning, he can make the quick pass. This team can't pass. Like, every pass that they've made on all of these power plays, they're all around the perimeter. It's all what I call playing soccer, when you just kick it back and forth and you don't do anything. It's just all around the perimeter. So they can make a pass from the half wall to the point, over to the other point, back down to the half wall, but they can't get to somebody in the slot. They can't get traffic in front of the net. They can't get bodies everywhere, and then you have a redirection or something like that. They can't do what Carolina does on their power play, which is they make a pass to set up another pass, which is kind of like, and Hal Gill was talking about this on the postgame show on TV, but they set up a pass. They use a pass to set up another pass. So on their goal, they make the pass to Dougie Hamilton at the point. He then quickly swings it to Aho, who's standing right there on the back door, bang, right in the back of the net. That is what you're supposed to do. Tolvanen on the second power play made two of those real quick passes, one of which to Matt Duchene, who had a backdoor opportunity, and then he double clutched it. And all of a sudden, by then, Nedeljkovic is already turned over, and he's staring right at the puck. The power play stinks. And I heard Robbie Stanley today saying that they're done blaming the coaches for the power play because they blame the coaches for forever. I feel like all of this kind of lies in the same direction. And I feel like I'm the only one who says it, but there's one thing that hasn't changed. And one thing that you can change. Because all these guys you've signed to all these big contracts, you can't undo those contracts. But, I mean, nobody wants to hear it. This team decides not to sell at the trade deadline because this team is not constructed to compete in the playoffs. This roster is not constructed. It's not good enough. And it never was. And I'm pretty sure if I knew it at the time, I'm pretty sure they knew it at the time, too. And these things just don't keep changing, and everybody keeps getting mad about it. And I keep sitting here saying, man, it's kind of like for the last 3 years, we've kind of known this, that you can't just throw money at the problem and then make it go away. But it's much deeper than that. And the power play, you fire the coach, not going to make a difference. You bring in new players, old players, not going to make a difference. I mean, it's... To me, the power play is now a discussion that goes to the very top. And David Poile's the general manager. And I know that general managing includes a lot of things. The power play is one of them. But he's tried everything you can try, and it hasn't worked. And once you've tried everything you can try and it hasn't worked, then I kind of start to look in the direction of the person who is trying all the things that are not working.
Adam Vingan tweeted last night, and in six of the Predators' power plays, they had 8 shots in 6 power plays. And in those 6 same Nashville power plays, Carolina had 6 shorthanded shots. The Predators couldn't even get the puck out of their own zone in those power plays.
Oh, it was awful.
It was awful. They weren't making serious shots during the power play. They were not making shots on goal. They were just farting around in their own zone.
And they were all one-timers that Nedeljkovic is just staring at.
Right.
I mean, he's just... Excuse me, Nedeljkovic. I keep getting that. The J just throws
it. It's a hard one.
But, I mean, he's just staring at him. And let me say this about Nedeljkovic, because I watch the neutral broadcasts. I don't know if you watch the NBC or if you watch the local broadcast.
Watch the CNBC.
I mean, AJ Molesko, I mean, she was dishing out some criticism now to the Predators. I mean, she was not just letting it be. And, I just don't know. I've had enough talking about the power play for years. You know, you've been
I've had enough, and I've been here for 2 months.
I was going to say, you've been here for about 8 weeks, and I've had enough talking about the power play. But it's not going to change. They've tried everything. And then once you've tried everything, what else is there to try? So I guess I'm fed up because I feel like the expectations for this team changed at the trade deadline. They changed. And you can say that, you know, Adam Vingan and Mark Howard and I and Greg Wyshynski and everybody else that was like, guys, let's not get our hopes up about a playoff run here, that we could have all seen this coming. But once the team says we're going in this direction, then we go in that. Then we are assessing the team from that direction. And I got to tell you, everything I was worried about playing this kind of team, that's what we're looking at right now. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I see your calls. We are right to them. 615-737-1025. Calls and texts. We will do that next. We are live out here at Social Furniture, Stillman & Company. Again, we are hanging out. You can come by. We're in West Nashville. Again, just register to win. All you got to do is stop by between now and 6 o'clock. Register to win Game 3 tickets, Game 4 tickets, and those nice, nice, nice recliners that you can recliner that will be given away on Memorial Day weekend. So be excited about that. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company. We are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What do you hang your hat on, or what do you take as a positive to get some, I guess, positive mojo going into Game 3?
Regarding what?
Just the way you're playing. How do you take a positive or have a positive mentality going into Game 3?
I think the last two questions, like, did we watch the same game? You know, I think when you look at the hockey game, we played a pretty good game. I thought their goaltender made some really good saves. We had good looks. I think you look at shot attempts, you look at shots, you look at offensive zone time, you look at how the game was played. We've got to do a better job on the power play. But I think the last two questions, you know, I think there's a lot of good things to come in the game. We're in a series. We're a better team than we were in the first night. We obviously know the power play has got to be better. But I think there's a lot of positive going out of this game and then coming home.
Seriously, was that question worth that answer?
Not at all. I mean, it's a pretty valid question. You just lost the second game in a row. See, what are you going to do to turn things around?
Here's the valid question for me. Did we watch the same game? Because I just heard him talk about that game. I don't think we watched the same game.
Right.
I mean, I am not. I thought that first period that they played last night, and I went back and I looked at, you know, the unofficial stats in the first period, and I was stunned at how even they actually ended up being. Like, Carolina got 10 shots, Preds got 10 shots, shot attempts, Carolina 18, Nashville 17. Now, Carolina did take four penalties, but I was stunned. I was stunned because it felt like the worst first period that they've played in the playoffs since 2019, game four. They played Dallas in like a Dallas had to have it kind of game, and they gave up four goals in the first period, and Pekka got bounced. That was the worst. I mean, that's the gold. That and game five of the Stanley Cup final are the gold standard for terrible first periods. And this one was right there with them. Carolina just happened to spend the whole first period in the box, and your goalie made a couple incredible saves, and it was only 1-0. But again, when I hear that, like, hey, what are you talking about? I mean, did we watch the same game? I thought we played pretty well. Stop. Apparently, we did not watch the same game as the coach last night. At least I didn't feel that way.
Well, and when he said that, I said, no, I genuinely don't think that we did. And I understand that if anyone's going to believe in this team, it's got to be John Hines. But you just have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, look, you know, this is what we're going to do to turn things around. We're going to fix the power play. We are going to continue to attack and net. That's what I wanted to hear. Like, look, hey, we know that we didn't play our best game out there tonight, but we're going to turn things around.
Yeah, again, I just...
Not acknowledging the fact that that wasn't the Preds' best first period that they've ever played an issue for me.
I just love that. Did we watch the same game?
No, I don't think we did.
Apparently we did not. Let's go to your phones. As promised, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're live at Social Furniture, again in West Nashville on Charlotte Avenue. Right over these... Hey, this is my neck of the woods right here. My hood, where I grew up in West Nashville. Stop on by, register to win a pair of tickets, not just to Game 3, but also to Game 4. And they're also giving away these super sweet recliners that you can register to win. They'll be giving that away Memorial Day weekend, so stop on by. Jeff is going to kick us off today on Stillman & Company. Thank you for waiting patiently. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Jared. I enjoy the show.
Thank you.
You know, the shots they were getting on goal, the Preds they were getting on goal, there was no deception to it. There was no – they would chuck it right to the chest of the goaltender. I that's the part I don't get, along with the power play and everything else. I thought they played good defensively, but I didn't see a professional hockey game.
So,
yeah,
Jeff, I'm with you on the theory of the shots. Thank you for your call. On the theory of the shots, everything was passed around the perimeter. Everything was a one-timer right into his glove. There was a one early on one of these power plays where Josi had a one-timer and Johansson was right there in front of the net, and he tried to get the stick up to deflect it, and if he does, maybe a redirect goes into the back of the net. There was the one, and my goodness, Tolvanen, there was the one where Luke Cunningham just absolutely let it rip, and Tolvanen got his rear end away from the front of the net, which I think would be a good teaching point. This is why we talk about why play the kid, why give him experience, because you can now take that tape to him and say, you park that fanny right in front of the goalie. You don't do anything. You park it right in front of the goalie, and you let Luke Cunningham let it rip. But yes, to the caller's point, again, the shot total. John Hines after the game. I remember when I first started covering the Predators, there was one game where they lost to St. Louis, and they outshot St. Louis like 46-19. And after the game, everybody's like, well, we shot it more than them. Great. Great. But, I mean, last night,
it almost makes it worse.
The shot total, the Preds outshot them 32-31. How many high-danger scoring chances, how many legitimate scoring chances did the Predators have last night? And zero? I mean, I mean that with all sincerity.
I think you could call that Luke Cunningham shot a legit shot attempt. If Alec Tolvanen would have parked his butt in front of the net, I think that could have been a goal.
But he didn't.
But he didn't.
But he didn't. But he didn't. And there's a lot of, but they didn't. You know, Tolvanen gives, on the power play, gives Duchesne a great cross-ice pass. That puck's got to be right to the tape, and it's got to be ripped right in the back of the net before the goalie can turn. And Duchesne double-clutched it. You can't win that way. What's in our text line?
Donovan texted in and said if the Predators had played at the high level that they are capable of, they would have won last night because Carolina was a step slower than the game before. Missed opportunity, in my opinion.
I so disagree with that. Oh my goodness. I thought the Predators were sucking wind in the third period. I heard Willie say something similar today about how he felt like Carolina was gassed at the end of the game last night.
I don't think they were.
First of all, Sebastian Aho pots the empty netter by basically, I mean, when you've got an empty net, somebody's got to get back
there.
Somebody has to get back. And Aho is all by himself. I mean, I thought John Hines in the third period rolled two lines. He rolled the Jofa line and he rolled that Cunningham, Duchesne, Granlund line. And that was, I mean, that fourth line, that herd line. And I get it. They have no business in this series because they don't. The herd line's out there to try to push people around. You're not pushing those guys around. So he's rolling two lines in the third period last night, and you could just tell they were gassed. So I don't get this idea about, you know, if the Predators had played at the level because Carolina was gassed. I'm sorry. When I think of gassed, I think of other way around. I think of Carolina being the gassers and the Predators being the ones that needed to catch their breath. I mean, there was one where I think Carolina got called for a penalty, and Forsberg had been on the ice for about 2 minutes, and I was like, oh, thank goodness that there's a penalty in a commercial because these guys need a second to catch their breath because they've been on the ice so long. So that one, I disagree with that. What else we got?
Hayden said the Preds' inability to capitalize on the man advantage is unacceptable, and ultimately they lost the game, which matters most. But having seven chances on the power play, holding eight chances on the power play, I think it was seven. Maybe it was
seven.
Seven chances on the power play, holding Carolina to one goal for 59 minutes and having tons of chances to win the game is bad. Not sure I completely buy that.
So I'm just going to say, read the first part of that text.
The Preds' inability to capitalize on the man advantage is unacceptable.
Stop. It's only unacceptable if you do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
They've never done anything about it that is required to fix it. They think that they've got it fixed, but they've never gotten it fixed. They signed Matt Duchesne. They hired Dan Lambert. They fired Peter Laviolette. They brought in guys to be tougher, like Eric Halla and Brad Richardson, and they've tried it. They brought in Tolvanen, you know, finally giving him a chance, which was hard enough for him to get a chance. And I'm sure John Hines is going to stick him right back on the bench because, you know, that's how this team apparently operates with the kid, is if he doesn't light it up the second he goes in, he comes right out. God forbid Arvidsson does nothing and just keeps getting ice time and keeps getting out there. He's a liability defensively. He gives you nothing on offense right now. And yet they'll probably bench the kid. He'll probably be sitting up there with Fabbro in the 800 level on Friday night. So it's only unacceptable if something is done about it. And I just don't think they're willing to do what I just don't think they're willing to do anything about it.
And the second part of that text, Hayden says that he doesn't completely agree with the fact that having seven chances on the power play is bad. It's bad if you don't do anything with it.
Sure,
it's bad if you have
Carolina
seven.
Carolina doesn't care about taking a penalty. Right,
no,
now.
That's fine. They're going to take all the penalties in the world, because what are the Predators going to do about it?
615-737-1025. We're back to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, we are live at Social Furniture out in West Nashville, 5412 Charlotte Avenue. Register to win tickets for Game 3. And tickets for Game 4. So there will be two lucky winners on that. And again, their Memorial Day sale delivery the next day, and set up what is available here in stock. You know what else? It is moving season. That's right. TriStar Moving. They're my official movers. If you're looking to move, you need to give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. At TriStar Moving, you'll get five-star service throughout the entire process. Everything is taken care of with TriStar Moving. Trust me, I know, because when I moved with TriStar Moving, and they made it as stress-free as possible. They have a brand-new state-of-the-art TriStar Moving storage facility in Mount Juliet, and their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians that care about helping this community any way they can. If you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or visit their website, nashvillemoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, nashvillemoving.org/radio, TriStar Moving, my official movers.
Ryan, your goaltender able to keep you in it tonight, unfortunately, doesn't go your way. How do you assess this one for your group here?
I think there's more positives from tonight than the first game. So we did some good things out there, and playing against a great hockey team, and just got to find a way to do a little bit more.
That was Ryan Johansson. Do you buy more positives from game one than game two?
Are there more positives from game one than game two?
No, game two than game one, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I do think that the Predators played better in game two than they did in game one. I think they had a little bit more control over the game. But at the end of the day, like I said earlier, you can pick up more positives along the way, but there's just not enough time in this series to start collecting positives and hopefully turn them into a win.
I know
you need to win now.
I know I'm like Mr. Bad Guy over here. I guess people want to feel that way. At least at game one, I thought they had a chance to win. Like, at least.
You don't think they had a chance to win yesterday?
At no point watching last night's game did I think they were going to win. Like, at no. Once Eric Halla took that roughing penalty, I thought, oh, God, here we go. I mean, that was stupid. And, that just seemed like the kind of game they wanted to play last night. And then somehow, I mean, I watched it, and again, I told you I was going to try to not listen to any shows or anything else, because my opinion. And I just started hearing people talk about how they played great. And I was like, what? But I promised your phone. 615-737-1025. Again, we are live out here at Social Furniture, West Nashville on Charlotte Avenue. Come on out with your opportunity to win Pred tickets for games 3 and 4. Let's go to Alex, who's been waiting patiently and is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Jerry. Glad to talk to you again.
Thanks.
I mean, last night, like, 0-for-7 on that power play. I'm going to be honest. I think I got an ulcer watching that offense. But, I mean, there is a way to look at this that's positive. I mean, coming back home, they clearly showed that they weren't afraid to take penalties last night. Like, because if they decide to take 7. So if we can correct it, and I'd keep Tolvanen on there.
I would too.
And if we can, yes. And if we can correct it and get him, I don't think that was Tolvanen's fault. We didn't get him properly set up.
Do you think they'll keep Tolvanen out there?
I would, but I don't think Hines will, if you get it.
I'm not sure exactly what you said there, but I'm guessing you're saying you would, but you don't think Hines will.
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, then what's it matter? Like, I mean, again, it doesn't matter if I think Tolvanen should be out there, and it doesn't matter if you think Tolvanen should be out there. Tolvanen definitely should be out there. I mean, the fact that, and I appreciate your call, Alex, the fact that Tolvanen and Fabbro aren't out there is so short-sighted. And I said this last Friday, but even now, I mean, get these guys some experience. Get some tape so that these guys can learn from. Just like yesterday when Elli Tolvanen made the mistake of leaving the crease right as Luke Cunningham was letting run rip. Like, that is a teachable moment. What's wrong with teachable moments? What's not a teachable moment is when Dante Fabro is sitting at the top of the arena in a suit and Eric Gudbranson falls on his rear end trying to stop a penalty or trying to stop a power play on the penalty kill, and the other team scores. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to talk to old man Gudbranson and say, hey, you know, Eric, right here, if you don't fall flat on your ass, then you have a better chance of making some sort of play on the puck. But that's not the way they're rolling, and I can't get worked up about it, because me getting worked up about it's not going to change it. But it's just very frustrating because it seems like something simple to me. I mean, I hate to say that the caller is more right than the coach, but I mean, we all think Hines is going to take Tolvanen out of the lineup, right? Do you think Hines is going to take Tolvanen out of the lineup?
I don't agree with it, but I do think that he will. I think that he put Tolvanen on a very short leash. I would put him out there, but I don't think I would see him in game three.
Have you noticed that everybody has couched this with, I wouldn't do it, but, like, at some point, if 100 people in the room, and I'm not saying that the callers and we know more than the coach, because, you know, that's always will turn into, you don't know more than the coach. Like, if we all think it's a bad idea, if you're in a room with 100 people and 99 of those people say, you know, Bob, that's probably not a good idea, wouldn't you say, yeah, you know, man, it's probably not a good idea? But we just don't trust Hines to make the right decision as far as Tolvanen's concerned. The only chance they had on the power play was when he, two things he did. One, and again, 5-on-5, and what I don't want to do is I don't want to turn the text line into lineup city, because I listened to the morning show, and that's all it was it was like, Texter says, put in David Ferentz. Texter says, put in, and I don't want to get into that. But The two things they were doing that I felt like had an opportunity to maybe work on the power play. One was that beautiful cross-ice pass Tolvanen gave Duchesne that he double-clutched, and the other was Tolvanen on the last power play, on the delay of game, fired a rocket that Pesce blocked. And everybody on the ice looked up because they had no idea where the puck was, because it was shot so quickly. And that shot they don't have on this team other than him. And right now that I know that if you just pass it around the perimeter and then take one-timers from the point, that Nedeljkovic is just going to sit there and glove every single one of them, I'm really not all that interested in trying it. That quick shot, that's one thing where his eyes are left. You fire that shot that goes into the back of the net before he can even move his eyes. That's the one thing he's got. And I know the idea of putting the kid out there and him failing against these guys is frustrating when you're trying to win a game, but I think it's counterintuitive big picture to the team, and I think it's counterintuitive short term, because if you can't score on the power play, just like in the Dallas series when you went 0-15 and you lost the series because of it, you have no shot of winning this series.
No, and I think that even though Elie Tolvanen didn't produce on the power play yesterday, I don't think that taking him out is going to help that at all. I think that would only hurt it. But William texted in and said, if you can't score a single time when you're gifted 1,000 power plays, you don't deserve to win. This is Stanley Cup playoffs, and we look like we don't know how to play hockey at times. But he did say that the 5-on-5 was better. I'm so sick of hearing about the 5-on-5. And William, I appreciate your text, but I'm so sick of hearing about the 5-on-5. The power play is the issue.
Well, the 5-on-5 is not perfect either. I mean, here's the other thing.
Just because it looked better than it did in game one doesn't mean that everything's okay.
And here's the other thing. They're up 1-0 and they know you can't score. What are they going to do in the third period? What does every hockey team do up in the third period in a playoff game? They pack it in. If Carolina wanted to go up and down the ice with you last night, they would have gone up and down the ice with you last night. The truth is, those offensive possessions, when I went back and rewatched the power play, every single power play that the Preds went on, those offensive possessions were painful. I mean, it's like Yossi trying to stick handle along the board with two guys, and then, oh, shocking, one guy poke checks it, the other guy takes it away, and just goes right up the ice. Or Arvidsson gets his shot blocked by Teravainen because he rips a one-timer, noted sniper Victor Arvidsson, rips a one-timer from the point that gets blocked by Teravainen. He then gets called for interference, doesn't actually interfere, and it leads to a Carolina 3-on-1 where Ekholm is by himself. I mean, you can't win that way. Joe Rexrow texted me and said, you were on point today until you started talking about playing guys for big picture reasons in the playoffs to get experience off the rails. I mean, here's my thing. I don't think you have a chance to win with Eric Goodbranson in the lineup. That's just me. And Eric Goodbranson played better than I expect Eric Goodbranson to play, which should tell you something.
Our texter Brian from yesterday did have a fairly good point. He didn't score.
Do you know why he didn't score? He had a golden opportunity.
He did. I thought he was going to score there, and I thought, golden. Oh, Brian.
He had a golden opportunity to score, and then he missed the puck. And you know why he missed the puck?
He can't handle the puck. No.
Because he sucks. That's why he missed
it. You can't handle the puck.
That's why he missed it.
And more Harper, really.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what's worse is they have forwards that can't handle the puck. So I don't – I mean, oh. There are so many things about last night's game that drive me insane, half of which have to do with Arvidsson. The other part of it that drives me nuts is, like, there was one where Arvidsson chipped it in on the power play, and he and Duchesne both went to the puck, and then Arvidsson tried to send it back, and there was nobody there because they just both went after the puck. Or Duchesne tries a no-look, just drop it back, and Aho just takes it sets up a breakaway. And
if
it's
you
like,
give Aho any sort of opportunity, he's
hell?
Going to take it.
Oh, my goodness. I thought about, I always say things on the show, like, if I own the team, I have been watching a lot of this lately thinking, if I own the team and I had to pay some of these guys the kind of money they have to pay them, and that was my $56 million that I had to pay, I don't like to pay to park somewhere in Germantown and have to pay $11 for it. I don't like doing that. So you talk about paying $56 million or $64 million or $28 million or all this money that I have to pay this guy. Oh, it would just drive me bananas. Oh, it would drive me insane. So I can't do 4 hours. I can't do 4 hours of this. I did 4 hours of it on Tuesday or whatever. We're going to have a Titans breather.
We need some reinforcements.
We're going to have a breather. Again, we are live out at Social Furniture. Come on out. Register to win a pair of tickets for Game 3 and Game 4. And you know what? I think some Preds fans really want me to say the series is over. Like, I think there are some that think that if I say it, that will set everything in motion in cosmic orbit. And I'm getting pretty close, but
I'm
not
going to do it. Do you believe
it? That it's over?
Yeah.
I want people to come on out and register for tickets for Game 3 and Game 4 out here at Social Furniture. Come on out here in West Nashville and register to win those tickets. But we're going to have a Titans breather. TD is going to join us for the next hour. He was at rookie minicamp. But Derrick Henry wants Julio Jones. And if Derrick Henry wants Julio Jones, then that's what we're going to start off with TD coming up next here on Stillman and Company right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Guess what? Basketball, FanDuel Sportsbook app, my official sportsbook app. The NBA play-in tournament has some teams, and it's giving them one last shot to make the playoffs. That's right, Grizzlies. Everyone can bet this round risk-free on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. FanDuel has teamed up with basketball legends Charles Barkley and Kenny the Jet Smith to make sure you get your money back if you don't win. That's any user, any bet type, any game. The NBA play-in tournament is going down May 18th through the 21st, and FanDuel just made it more exciting. It's all part of FanDuel's Play-In Palooza. That's right. So if you already have a sportsbook account, just open the app and opt in to claim your risk-free bet. And if you're new to FanDuel, use the promo code JGM when you sign up to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Refund issue is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. New user risk-free bet for first real money wager only, and refund issued as a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.